Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and we've got a great show in store for you today. I have Ben Golden with me, and Ben is the CEO and founding member of IRS Trouble Solvers, an organization helping individuals and businesses with wage garnishments, tax liens, delinquent tax returns, advisory bankruptcy services, and many more. Ben takes a very different approach on each unique case and develops a thorough plan that will resolve tax problems efficiently and effectively. It's my pleasure to welcome Ben to the show today.
Hey, how are you doing today, Belinda?
I am well. Thank you very much. Thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me today.
Yeah, this is that time of the year where I'm guessing that you're pretty busy, right?
Well, I mean, we stay pretty busy all year. We don't offer regular, normal accounting and tax, income tax, tax return services. So, you know, we're not as busy as a normal CPA would be.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, why don't you just fill in some of the gaps of your bio then? Tell us a little bit more about the journey and then what you're really doing to help folks out today.
Yeah, definitely. Be happy to. So early in my career, my normal and main focus was doing tax returns. And I helped one of my clients, and they started getting into some trouble paying their payroll taxes. And the IRS agent came to me and said, Ben, you have to pay your client's payroll taxes for them. And the revenue officer said, not only do you have to pay them, but I've done research on you, and you need to liquidate your 401k. You have land here that you need to sell. You have too many vehicles. And she had done a thorough investigation of my personal assets. And, you know, I was violated. I felt violated. So, you know, I had to deal with that from a very early stage of my profession. And, you know, she attempted to bully me, and you know, I just don't want that feeling for anyone else to be bullied. So for me, I come from a place of, you know, personal difficulty myself, and just in dealing with that and saying, you know, IRS, we're not going to let you bully my clients now. And, you know, it's personal to me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't even count the time that someone stole my personal tax identity as well back in 2013. So, you know, someone from three or four states over said that I made quite a bit of money, that I, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 on a W-2 and had all this withholding. And then they had a fake business and tried to get a lot of money and withholding off of that fake W-2. And thank goodness the IRS shut that down, because it was just out of the norm. But it took me 4 years to deal with the identity theft as well.
Wow, that, I know, it's not easy, right?
Not at all. And this is someone that knows how to deal with the IRS. So,
right.
I mean, how is the layperson going to feel not knowing which steps they need to take? You know what I mean?
I do, exactly. And that's where I'm guessing that you come in and can sort of help people navigate through that frustration.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So then tell us about how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
So, you know, without the business, I wouldn't have the freedoms that I have today. And, you know, I absolutely love what I do. So because I love what I do, it doesn't feel like I have to work at all. And, you know, that's definitely something that I feel important for myself, strictly because it gives me happiness to know, number one, that I help people. Number two, that I get personal enjoyment by doing it. And I'm personally fulfilled to know that I can help them. So when I do go home, I can also be the best person I can be at home for my family as well.
That's awesome. I think you mentioned you might have a couple locations.
Yeah, so I definitely do. IRS Trouble Solvers, and we're located in Alabama and in the Chicago area.
But you're able to service people all over because of the work through the internet.
Yeah, not only do we have clients that are remote, but almost all of my team is remote as well. And since my team is remote, we service people all over. We have clients ranging from Hawaii all the way to New York, all the way back down to Miami.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great. Well, it's the kind of service you don't hope that you need, but when you do, you need the help, right?
Definitely. You know, one of the things that I always say is our clients are normally great people that have had something terrible happen in their life that has really just changed the trajectory of their financial life, their personal life. You know, it's a lot of great people that have just bad things happen to them. You know, a divorce, a death in the family, something like that, that just they can't move forward in multiple areas in their life, you know?
Absolutely. And then that kind of puts a tailspin on everything. I've seen it. We were just having discussions about this in our office today regarding trusts and how much costs go into, you know, dealing when a loved one passes away and you don't really know what you're dealing with as well. So we were just having that conversation up in our office right before coming onto this. And so it's hard to navigate if it's not something you're familiar with.
You know, that's exactly right. And then you add into the mix, the government is requesting all of these additional, all this additional information from you. They're requesting you to respond within a certain period of time. And if you're not in the happy place, if you're not in a good place where you can respond, then, you know, it sort of just trails off from there and it becomes very, very difficult because, you know, the IRS just becomes more aggressive if you don't respond.
Ugh, it's terrible.
Yeah, I tell people, even if you do have a tax problem or the IRS thinks you have a tax problem, you need to respond to them and at least let them know, hey, I'm going to get somebody to help me with this, or we're going to move forward with this. If you don't respond and you don't attempt to try to fix the situation, then the IRS is going to become more and more aggressive with your case.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about what you have identified as kind of your superpowers, like your great skill sets that have really helped you in operating your business.
You know, for me, because I've dealt with this personally, I'm very sympathetic to where the client is and wanting to move forward to help them come to a place where they have peace of mind and they feel protected that the IRS is not just going to come in and take their stuff or garnish their wages and things like that. I think that my superpower is helping clients or helping people feel at ease or feel at peace in regards to, you know, where they are with the IRS.
Very good. Let's talk about some most outstanding accomplishments, and then we're going to talk about a challenge that you faced. So let's start with accomplishments. Is there something that you're especially proud of or that you've achieved throughout this journey?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for me, maybe not in regards to a professional sense, but I'm a two-time state wrestling champion. When I was in college, I was a referee for intramural flag football. Mm-hmm. And I went to regional programs. I went to regionals in order to compete against other referees. And then I went to nationals. Just like the teams would go and compete for intramural flag football, I, as a referee, would go as well. So I won the regionals, and then I went to the nationals and won All-American referee twice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really unique and different. I think it just speaks to sort of who I am, you know, I'm really a rules follower. I believe that, you know, everybody should be. So, I mean, you know, I guess that's why I was a referee, because I wanted to help people say, okay, you can't do that. That's not fair to the other side. So, you know, I think with me and my determination and just thinking, you know, I can get it done and believing in myself, I think that's another maybe superpower that I have. But, you know, I'm really proud of sticking in there and working as hard as I did at that time to get both of those accomplishments, actually.
Very good. So let's talk about a challenge that you faced and how did you work through that? I'd love a story here.
So recently with the Chicago office, we merged with another firm, and going from a two-person firm 2 years ago to where we are now, where we have 16 people here on staff, and, you know, learning the different people, learning the different employees, learning how they work, also learning the different operating procedures for the other company. You know, it was really difficult for me and a challenge for me to grow into a true leader for the entire group. And that's definitely something that is important, because, you know, I think that the leader sets the tone for vision. It sets the tone for, you know, education inside and what we want to do so far as how we move forward. So unbelievable challenge for me. And, you know, honestly, we're only several months in, so it's still definitely a challenge.
Very good. And so what are some things that you're doing to sort of to navigate that, working out of two offices? I think that that is something that more and more people are doing these days. And what ways are you doing for communication and just to make that a more simplified experience?
One of the things that I thought was important was, you know, we don't have any water cooler time, you know, since everybody is in five or six different states. And we can't really sit down at lunch and talk to each other and get to know each other. I thought it was really important that we do a morning huddle every single morning. And we talk for 30 minutes in regards to, you know, not really business items that's going on, but more personalized things. You know, we ask questions like, you know, what's your favorite ice cream, or, you know, what's your favorite color? And we go into, you know, very funny things. And sometimes if people have more somber things going on in their life, we just learn each other. And that's one of the things that I've been really happy about in trying to sort of meld the group together, is how can we each get to know each other and start to, you know, care for each other, even though we're so far apart. So that's one thing that we did. And, you know, we do have a messaging system in the office, but I think that everybody understanding a clear vision of where we're going. So we had an operating plan meeting a couple weeks ago, and, you know, that way everybody can be on the same page and running sort of at the same speed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. I do think that that is one of the difficult challenges with everybody working from home, is people just have lost that, you know, connection and camaraderie. And it's that knowing another individual and what they're going through allows coworkers to, you know, pitch in and help or be more empathetic or understanding and helping each other out. And I think we're losing that with having everybody remote and nobody really knowing what's really going on in other people's lives. So I think that's an awesome way to handle that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you.
So I think working from the happy place for me means that I get to be fulfilled in what I get to do every single day. There are definitely challenges, and helping people, like I said, have peace of mind and know that they're protected from the IRS. And it really gives them a financial future, because a lot of the people are in desperate places, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So can you, before we kind of go into the last portion of our interview, what are some things that people could do to maybe help preventative measures? Is there things that people can do to just be sort of on top of things so that I realize that things can happen. And you know, like you said, suddenly life throws people a curveball and they find themselves in this situation. But is there any proactive measures that people can take that can be helpful with all of this?
Absolutely. Number one, file your tax return every single year on time, even if you can't pay the IRS. Because, you know, the IRS looks at you, if you are someone that does not file every single year on time, they're going to start looking at you as being habitually late or habitually non-filer, and you don't want them to do that. You know, file on time every single year, even if you can't pay.
Okay.
Number two, communicate with the IRS. You would not believe how many people get on a Zoom call, and I said, okay, did you receive something from the IRS? And they say, yeah, I've got six letters here. And I said, okay, did you actually open them? And more times than not, they don't even open the letters.
Oh my gosh.
So communication is key, and communication is not one way. If the IRS thinks that you owe money, they're going to chase you until you either, number one, pay, or number two, explain why you don't owe them.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Is there a number three for us?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so if you do owe the IRS money, or if the IRS is auditing you, find someone that is a professional to deal with it. Don't feel like you need to deal with it yourself. You know, you would not go in front of a judge without a professional because you just don't know all the rules of the court. The IRS is the same exact way. When they question you or they ask you questions in regards to you owing money or can you pay money, understand that they've been trained on how to ask questions and listen properly for, you know, the things that you're not saying, sort of the items between the lines, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So talk to a professional, let a professional deal with whatever situation that it is. And then to parlay on top of that, I would also always encourage you to get a professional to do your taxes for you. You know, make sure they're a CPA, make sure they're an enrolled agent, make sure that they are qualified to prepare your return. And that way, hopefully, there won't be something in there that you don't know or be able to explain.
Okay. That certainly is some great advice for sure. So let's talk about somebody owning their own business right now. So a lot of entrepreneurs on this show, small business owners, what advice would you give to people wanting to sort of open up shop for themselves?
Right now is a difficult time because of everything with COVID. Make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure that you sit down with someone, an accountant, to run the numbers and do projections and things of that nature. There's so many people that just sort of fly off the seat of their pants, and they just go and they just do because they're very excited and passionate about what they're doing. However, you need to take a step back and you need to look and make sure and answer the question: is this a wise financial step? Make sure you run the numbers and let the numbers speak for themselves. I understand that you may be passionate about it, but the last thing you want to do is jump into something that financially just may not be viable.
Absolutely. And I think people do that all of the time. They're just really, they don't do due diligence as much as you hear that. It's even in sometimes asking people for referrals. I've done it myself. I ask for them, and then sometimes I don't even call and check on the referrals. And if I had of, I would have been in a different position not to hire maybe a, you know, marketing team or somebody else of that nature. And you really need to do your due diligence. I think that's fantastic advice.
You know, just to speak on that. You know, I think that as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, you're only as strong as the weakest link in your chain. And normally the person who starts the business is more of a technician. They know how to do all of it the proper way, while they don't understand the tax rules and regulations. They don't understand the insurance rules and regulations. They don't understand the health care or have an attorney on their team so they can ask the questions. You know, there are certain industries that you need to have sort of on your team because they know more about their industry than you could ever know. Now, I would encourage people, like I said, to have the attorney, an accountant, an insurance person, have all of them on your team, and don't be afraid to ask questions. And honestly, you know, nothing in this world is for free. Offer to pay them for their advice. And, you know, believe it or not, Miss Belinda, I think they should probably take it more times than not.
Absolutely. It's funny because I laugh about that, but it's like people get advice. I give people advice all the time, and then they come back around whatever period of time later. And I'm like, well, did you give that a try? Did you, you know, what did you do with that information that I gave you? Well, I didn't. And it's like, we're right back in here, and it's twice as bad as it was 3 months ago when I gave you the advice to follow. I'm always perplexed by people asking for advice and then kind of not following through with it. I think it's if it's not the advice they want to hear, then they just continue to move along.
You know, that's exactly right. Especially business owners, you know, they know so much about what they're doing that it sort of blinds them. They sort of have blinders on as to the things around them as well. So, and that's why it's so important. If you ask for the advice, you know, you should really consider actually taking the advice. So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because I find that most of the time when people are asking for advice, it's something deep down that they know they need to do, but they don't want to do. So they're hoping to get a different answer than the one they know deep down inside of their gut. That's what I have discovered. And so many times it's like they're wanting a different out. And when they don't get the different out, they just ignore it altogether. I think it's really important if you have some instinctual kind of thoughts about what you may or may not need to do with your business, and then you ask and get that advice. It's extremely important then that you do follow through with that.
You know, a lot of times I'll talk to individuals and, you know, I call that sort of putting a stinky skunk on the table. You know, we can smell it. We both know there's a skunk somewhere, but when you put it on the table, that means you see it and you smell it. Now you got to deal with it. Just like you're saying, people may not want to deal with some of the more difficult items inside their business, and they want to, you know, turn a blind eye or not deal with it or whatnot. But believe it or not, those are the items that can come back to get you just as fast as larger problems that you have. And, you know, if you're not willing to listen and see that there is that stinky skunk up on the table, then, you know, believe it or not, maybe there's more of a problem that lies with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. I could not agree more. So what are some new and exciting things that you are working on that you think our listeners could benefit from?
I'll tell you, there is so much movement right now with the IRS and the administration with COVID and with, you know, the SBA and everything that's going on. I would really encourage everybody to talk to your professionals, go talk to your accountant. I know it's busy season. However, you know, there are some wonderful things out there right now that the administration and the government is actually doing for people if you qualify. So, you know, always try to learn as much as you possibly can about what's going on, but don't be afraid to ask those questions. Don't be afraid to go in there and say, hey, I learned about this new stimulus payment for my business. Is this something that I should do or can do? Do you think I qualify? Is there a way for us to look to see? You know, with everything going on right now, the government is going to try their best to get us sort of back in the groove and working again. I heard a statistic the other day that said that, you know, more than one third of the small entrepreneur businesses are not coming back at all. Not only are they closed right now, but they're not even going to come back, period.
Yeah, it's tough. It is very tough. And I think there's going to be a lot of, you probably know more about this than I do, but like, I think there's going to be a lot more things that people are going to need to know in regards to the stimulus and in regards to some of these different small business loans and such that you'll need to know for tax purposes, which makes it even more important to have a professional that's assisting you with these things.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of them have deadlines as well. Like, for example, the first draw on the PPP, you know, there's a deadline for you to actually have to file a form to request the forgiveness. That deadline starts the end of June. And a lot of people don't understand. They're going to have to pay that loan back if they don't file a one-page form. And there are a lot of people that are not going to know about it.
Well, just speaking about my own self, so we kept we were really on the lookout for it, and we kept getting messages from our bank saying, oh, we haven't even begun that process yet. Oh, they're way behind. Don't worry about it till you hear from us. And I'm going to be really honest. I just kept sitting thinking, okay, I'm good here. And then I didn't ever see the notice that came in saying, okay, it's time. And then fortunately, one of the gals in my office said, are you going to go ahead? You want me to assist you with that paperwork or what? I said, I haven't gotten anything. And she goes, I think you did. I think I saw it in your emails. And so I found it and we got it filled out and we just finished that last week. And it really was a simple process, a one-page document. And we've already gotten, you know, confirmation back from the bank. So I just want to let people know, I know there was a big gap of, oh, you know, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. But it's out there. And you're right, there's a deadline on it. And so people should go back in and probably check their emails and check their communication.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, if your accountant misses a deadline, guess who's responsible?
Me.
Exactly. Not the accountant, believe it or not. I mean, then you get into other issues, you know. You are going to be responsible. It's just like your tax return. And, you know, Belinda, a lot of people don't even know this. Did you know, in the old days, everybody would see a copy of their tax return. They would sign it and then they would mail it in, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the past 15 years, the IRS has been requiring everyone to send in electronic tax returns. Mm-hmm. Did you know that you're still signing a tax return under penalties of perjury?
Wow.
So, I mean, even if you don't look at the tax return, if the accountant puts something on there, and let's say, for example, they accidentally hit a 4 instead of a 1 on an expense, and they deducted an additional $30,000 worth of expenses that you didn't know about, well, you're still responsible for that. And you sign that return under penalties of perjury.
Yeah, it's important to look over your documentation and read through it, right?
I would definitely encourage it. I mean, you're not gonna sign a contract without reading it, do you?
No, not at all.
Well, that's what a tax return is. A tax return is a voluntary contract with the government that says, I promise that everything in here is right.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, the IRS is going to get very aggressive. Now, in terms of what's happening in the future, you know, when COVID started last March, the IRS was very aggressive to come in and say, listen, we know that you're being hurt by COVID. We're going to slow down on requirements for you to pay us. And they actually stopped all of the payments going to the federal government where people owed back taxes. And then in November, they started saying, okay, well, everybody's got to get back on the plan. With the stimulus that it came out in December, and now we had another stimulus that came out this month. The IRS is still putting the recourse of people owing them off a little bit in order for people to get their stimulus, because, you know, the prior administration and the current administration did not want the IRS to capture that stimulus payment and put it towards back taxes, because that wouldn't really help people pay their bills right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they've been really proactive about, you know, being sympathetic to where everyone is. I will tell you, I think very, very soon, the status quo is going to change and the IRS is going to become aggressive on the other side. So it'll be a 180 degree change, and they're going to get very aggressive because, you know, believe it or not, someone is going to have to pay for these trillions of dollars worth of stimulus that were passed in the past year.
Yep, absolutely. Well, that is very good advice. And can you tell our listeners in closing where they can find you and how they might seek out your services?
Yeah, of course. You can reach us at www.irstroublesolvers.com, or you can email me at ben@irstroublesolvers.com. And those are the easiest ways to get in touch with us.
Great. And do you guys have any either Facebook page or forum where people can just go for frequently asked questions?
Yeah, definitely. If you want to go to our website, we have a chat there. If you think you have an IRS problem and you have some questions, please feel free to contact us in that manner. Or you can go to our Facebook as well, and that's IRS Trouble Solvers.
That is fantastic. All right. Well, thanks so much, Ben. This has been extremely helpful and informative, and it's the sort of thing, like, for most folks, they may not ever need that kind of help, but boy, when you do, you really do, and it's good to know where to turn to.
Well, thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Great. And to all of our listeners, thanks for listening in today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. We always love that. And then if you love this podcast, share it with a friend. That is the best form of appreciation that we can receive. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.